This podcast is part of the Democracy Group.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are talking politics and religion without killing each other. I am your host, Corey Nathan. It is an honor to be a part of the Democracy Group, a network of podcasts that examines what's broken in our democracy and how we can work together to fix it. And remember to subscribe or follow, and of course, leave a good rating and write that review. The reviews have really been helping. Since this is, I just jinxed myself. I was going to say I'm going to try to be brief, but you know how this goes. I get on a roll and I just start thinking out loud. So I did want to share a couple of reviews because it's really cool when they come in. This one came from No Nicknames 87. Came in a few weeks ago, and No Nicknames says, "Great podcast. I have become a fan of this podcast. I really like how Corey is level-headed." Dude, have we met? He said Corey's level-headed. But I'll take the compliment. Thank you. He says, "Corey is level-headed and seems to take his time to develop thoughts. I think he also does a good job of allowing the guests to speak what they want to, but it is done through great questions. This show is true to its name." Thank you so much, No Nicknames. That was really nice. You have been listening. You're giving me more credit than I deserve in terms of being level-headed. But it's really meaningful that that you notice how I'm trying to engage guests, and they've been great conversations. So thanks again, No Nicknames. And we got another one from Tacos for the Children. Tacos for the Children says, "Really enjoy this podcast. Conversation is how we solve problems to minimize conflicts." Yes, it is. But good conversations with the right disposition. Tacos says, "I like hearing from people whose opinion may differ from mine so that I have a full understanding of issues at hand. Brilliant production quality, tempo, and flow, easy to follow." Oh, that's cool. Thanks, man. I do try to take time to make sure it sounds good. The other thing that Tacos for the Children said is A plus, 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 exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. So that was awesome. Lots of pluses and four exclamation points. So that's really cool. But I really do. It does mean a lot to see your comments. Some of these are specific, and I do take it to heart, to hear from people from different points of view, for example, or to, what was said, with No Nicknames, said letting folks speak, and asking the right questions to get the most out of them. So this is really helpful for me, and definitely encouraging, obviously, when I see the five stars in the comments, and it is helpful. So thank you again, Tacos for the Children, and No Nicknames. It really does help. So as usual, I'll put a link in our show notes to make it easy for you to find our page on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. It helps get the word out so more people can find us and help flesh out some of these important subjects. I really do like hearing from you. So whether it's a review or on one of our social platforms, let's just keep practicing this thing, talking politics and religion without killing each other, because it does take practice, believe me. It takes practice to react in healthier ways and to engage with folks that have different beliefs and positions than we do. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. And that is, I've noticed, I don't know if anybody else has, but have you noticed that when, this is what I've noticed. When I criticize Donald Trump, anyone who's been listening to this program knows I have serious issues with the individual, which I get into here and there. But when I critique something Trump said or something he did, I often, actually almost always, hear from a friend who supports him. But the responses often come from a place as if I was criticizing that person, as if by calling out the terrible things that Donald Trump says and does. And let's face it, every single day, there are any number of things that someone like me, who's a Christian and a conservative, or just someone who tries to be a basically moral, decent person, there are many things daily we can take issue with. But the thing is, when I do, it's as if friends of mine who support Trump seem to think I'm attacking them or their character. So first, let me be 100% clear. If I have deep issues and say something about the words, actions, and character of Donald Trump, does not mean I have issues with all those who support him or ever voted for him. Everyone is right. They have the right to vote for who they want, believe what they want, support different issues, support different candidates. Like, I'm a different person than folks like Joe Biden or Paul Ryan or Suzette Valadares. All these different politicians over the years that I've liked, for various reasons. And you know something? It doesn't even mean I agree with all their policies. It just means that for one reason or another, I've liked what they've done. I've liked what they've represented. And these are different people on different sides of the political aisle. There are any number of independent politicians I've liked. But if someone takes issue with a Paul Ryan or a Suzette Valadares, I know they're not talking about me. I don't have to account for everything that Suzette Valadares has ever said or done. And I don't take it personally if somebody critiques the fact that Paul Ryan, for example, is on the board of Fox News. But I like, you know, his career. I like some of his philosophy going back to when he was a staffer for Jack Kemp in Congress. I like the way that he was doing his best to navigate impossible, treacherous territory in his last days in the House. So when my buddy Pete Dominic, on the attack, when he heard I was supporting Suzette Valadares, he might have been lumping me in with her. But I know Suzette and I are very different people. And we even have a lot of differences when it comes to policy. So when I take issue with the latest grievances, with the latest hatefulness that Trump is spewing, I don't know why a number of folks lash out as if I'm attacking them personally. So I'm not going to try to, it's not my job to do like psychoanalysis, but I did want to give you a few examples of what I'm talking about. And I'm sure maybe as I say it, as I say this phenomenon, maybe you're thinking of times that it's happened to you. You might have posted something, you might have said something, whether it was at a bar, or at a coffee shop, or online, or whatever. It happened. I know that this isn't a unique experience to me. So there was one from just a few days ago. It was in response to a recent episode that we did with Rachel Vindman. By the way, do you love Rachel Vindman or what? I just absolutely, she was great. She was so easy to talk to. But at one point we were talking about, I forget if we had this on the air, if it was before we hit record, but we were talking about, no, it must have been on the air because that's what the response was to. We were talking about how Trump's middle of the night rage tweets resulted in violent threats, not just to Colonel Vindman, who, as you know, testified against Trump in the first impeachment. I mean, that's bad enough. But there were very real threats against Colonel Vindman and Rachel, his wife, as well as their daughter. So Rachel and I talked about that. And one of the comments I got about all that started with a sort of, well, what about what Biden did? And he cited a story that's been circulating in the New York Post and on Fox News. And it ended with this exhortation to me to say, and he said, let's be fair. And my thought was, this isn't a my side versus your side kind of story. This is a suburban mom who was viciously attacked, who's been threatened with violence, whose kid has been under threat. Because why? Because Trump can't control his impulses, that he can't control his thumbs and his tweets. You know, oh, that's so unfair, you know, when somebody's trying to actually hold him accountable. But this guy who commented, my question is, why bring up a supposed other side kind of a story in response to all this? Not everything has to be a this side versus the other side. It's like there's this trap, this whole universe where everything is red shirt, blue shirt, where it's, the thing is, most of us, a large majority of us, aren't wearing one jersey or another. So I don't know why this fellow always seems to be, I think he's in that trap, frankly, that as if, you know, I'm on some imaginary opposing team. There was another instance when I shared an article about, there's a conservative legal scholar and attorney, George Conway, a lot of folks are familiar with. And he's a real conservative. He was, what's the name of that group? Oh gosh, I forgot the name of it's a university-based group. And he was a president of his own association. It's a conservative legal movement. Anyway, George Conway, it was regarding a case, he published an article regarding a case that was argued in front of the Supreme Court about Colorado's decision to bar Trump from the state's presidential primary ballot. So I noted, when I posted the article, I noted in the opinion that SCOTUS issued, which was a unanimous one, that it left out any commentary on whether Trump is an insurrectionist or whether he provided aid to insurrectionists. I thought that this was significant. It wasn't even criticism about Trump so much as a significant, that it was like a notable omission on the part of the court. And then one of my buddies from high school leaves a comment about how the left would love to shred the Constitution. another post about the same case that I put up before the ruling came out, so a few weeks prior, it wasn't even, and that one wasn't even about Trump. I just said I was persuaded. That's a funny thing. I was actually persuaded by some of the questions the justices were asking. The questions about individual states having an outsized impact on federal elections. And one of the comments was similar to that one. And it was, the Constitution still matters, to Dems' dismay, to Democrats' dismay. And it's confounding to me. So this fellow feels a need to not only defend Donald Trump, but to go about it in such a way that there are two opposing sides to every event, every news story, every issue, two sides that are always at war with each other. And not only do I have to defend my side, the thinking goes, I have to go on the attack against the enemy because, you know, they're evil and they're trying to destroy us. They're trying to shed the Constitution according to this thinking. One other thread, it was another one where I just quoted a Bible verse. It's funny how just like literally just quoting a Bible verse will send people just completely sideways. The verse was, out of a person's heart, evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. And that is from Mark's gospel. And I didn't even have to say anything, but I'm kind of an asshole sometimes, let's face it. Because I know what I'm doing. Like, I'm not just like innocently, oh, I just quoted a Bible verse. I just got to be candid about that. But as we go through these vices, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. I don't even have to say who the hell I'm talking about. We all know. And you know that does not go well. So one fellow that used to work with us, he chimes in. And mind you, I haven't heard from this guy in years. No happy birthday. No, what a cute dog. No, how are your kids doing? No, nothing. Well over seven, 8 years, you know? And he pipes in and he attacks my character. He goes right after my character. Then he comments on my age. The dude goes on the attack. So what is that about? I didn't put up a post or do an interview attacking anyone who's ever voted for Donald Trump. I would never say all those Republicans. I don't do that. People who listen to this program know there are Republicans I support. I would never use the kind of language I hear way too often, like, these are the same people who. No. When I criticize Donald Trump, I'm talking about Donald freaking Trump. Not my buddy from high school who pipes up in Trump's defense and attacks the left or Dems. I'm not quoting a verse and saying that this guy who worked with our company seven, eight years ago is all those things, all those vices, or has all those proclivities. But he somehow feels the need to attack my character, comment on my age. For what? For quoting a passage of scripture? So I share some of these encounters, and I could easily go into the latest episodes of, you know, not just a private, not private, but, you know, people who send me notes or comment on posts. I could go into the latest episodes of the Mark Levin podcast, or the Matt Walsh podcast, or Dan Bongino's, and there's a lot of the same nonsense. So instead of reckoning with the words, actions, and character of Donald Trump or other individual bad actors, there are these types of constant attacks. That's the business model, to be in constant attack mode as if it's a war. And that's the language, a war. Don't take my word for it. Just spend 5 minutes and scroll through. You'll find phrases like the real enemy and this is war and these people are evil. not about an individual or commenting on individual acts, but about all Democrats, the entirety of the left, as they would define it, which is to say anyone who isn't sufficiently supportive of Donald Trump or anyone who doesn't sufficiently hate the left with enough vitriol. So, I mean, I know that's part of the reason why we get these kinds of responses when I say something like, I don't know, I'm relieved that Donald Trump was held accountable when it was found through the due process of our judicial system that he's liable for sexual assault. You know, somebody who's found liable through the proper judicial process of sexual assault should be held accountable, you know. Or when I was met with such protest, such indignance, when I quoted a Bible verse that, granted, describes Donald Trump to a T, you know. Millions and millions of people listen to Levin and Bongino and Hannity. So it's natural that the whole art imitates life, then life imitates art cycle happens. Actually, not that any of this is any art of any sort, but you know what I mean. People in real life mimic what they're listening to and reading and digesting hours upon hours every week. So then the question is, what do we do about it? How do we respond? Because I can't control how people respond. It's not my job to control how people respond. I can control what I put out there, and I control how I respond to people when they engage with me. So we have a few choices. One choice is to ignore them and hope it goes away. One choice is just not to engage at all, right? But for me, you have to know your own boundaries. So if that's your choice, I respect that. You know, but for me, I can't cede the ground. I can't cede the village square, our collective public square, to the screamers and the extremists, to allow the voices like Bongino and Walsh and Hannity and Levin to be the voices that dominate our public spaces, that dominate outlets like the podcast medium. My podcast doesn't compete with theirs. I don't have those numbers. I'm very grateful for the level of response that we do have. You know, I'm very grateful and we're continuing to grow, but it's not like I have millions and millions of listeners. But you know something? I can have one conversation with one person. I sometimes we get 10,000 people that are listening, 15,000-20,000 people that are listening. So that's really cool. It's not hundreds of thousands or millions, but it is something, and it leads to one good conversation. So when I do get into those conversations, what can I do? I can be clear in what my mindset is, and sometimes I just have to repeat it a few times. You know, it's not going to get through the first time or the second time or the third time. So I can continue to be clear on what my beliefs are. You know, for example, if I do not hold, you know, just because Donald Trump was held liable for sexual assault, there's no way my buddy from high school, I don't hold him in that same. He's not guilty of that. Even if he did vote for the guy, even if he said he's going to vote for the guy, I'm not associating everything that Donald Trump says and does with this guy who happens to want to vote for him. And by the way, I don't even see it as my job to convince him not to vote for him. My first job is to make sure that he knows that I don't see him in that light. I disagree with who he's supporting. I disagree with his policies, but I'm not attacking him. And I can also be clear that when he's talking about the left, the Dems, sometimes it tries my patience, to be honest with you. But I have to say, listen, if I was on the left, if I was a liberal, I have no problem with that. I would own it. I would embrace it. I'd be proud of it. I'd say it. But sometimes I just have to be very, very clear. Like, hey, let's talk again. It seems to me that we got to talk again about what my positions are, because you're clearly not hearing me. And for you to lump me in based on one data point, that ain't right. Do you want to have a conversation with me? Or are you just like, I don't know, like rhetorically jacking off? You know, Is that what we, that's not nice. That wouldn't be very effective if I said that. But you know what I mean? It's like, are you talking to me or are you just getting stuff off your chest, frustrations that you feel kind of generally? Because what you're describing and what you're objecting to has nothing to do with my positions. So let's talk about that. You want to talk to me? You want to have a conversation with me? Or you want to just get stuff off your chest? You want to get stuff off your chest? Cool. Let's do that. I'm here for you. I am here for you. But what we need to do is establish an understanding of who I am, who you're talking to, what my beliefs are. You just want an ear to bend about your frustrations generally? Okay, I'll listen to you. You want me to respond to you? You want me to just listen? That's fine too. We'll do that. But set clear understandings. Let's set clear understandings of who I am and who I'm. I'll give you the same respect, you know? And again, sometimes you have to repeat it over and over and over again. One of the things that I also do, so set clear understandings. Sometimes you got to repeat. That's one. It's not about debating them. So that's not my, I don't find that to be effective. I'm not there to contest with them. But one thing I do try to do is without bullshitting, I do try to find things to compliment about the person. Something I genuinely respect about them. Because listen, if we're talking, there's a reason I'm talking to you. If I had nothing to respect about you, nothing to like about you, nothing to admire about you, we wouldn't be talking. And here's a secret. There's something to like and compliment and admire and respect about just about everybody. Maybe not Donald fucking Trump, but just about everybody, you know? And I think it's a good exercise to try to find that thing and to compliment that person about it. And it's funny that when you're not doing it in a bullshitting kind of a way, that it really does start to break the ice. Hey, man, you are one of the hardest workers that I can remember. I love your work ethic. And, you know, when I see you online, I love how dedicated you are to your family and whatever. You find something, you know, because it sets up the context of why we're talking in the first place. I'm not talking to you to debate with you, to fight with you. I'm talking to you because my objective, my agenda, my MO is a relationship. Even if we only talk once a year, that's fine. But my MO is a relationship because the relationship is the fertile ground upon which we can do some work together as a small community, even if it's just you and me. So I try to compliment somebody without you know, slathering on the bullshit. Be genuine, find something to compliment. And it really does break the ice. It's a good starter to maybe say, maybe then to make the correction and say, listen, I don't think you really understand where I'm coming from, you know? And then the other thing is, avoid tackling everything all at once. I make this mistake all the time. You know, some person just, you know, it's like TLDR, too long, didn't read. You know, they just, everything that's on their mind, they go, 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 go. And it's this whole screed on whatever the topic is. And it's any number of different issues, 6, 7, 8, 9 different issues. I'm not going to try to tackle everything. I'll tackle one thing at a time, maybe two. And that's it. It helps to keep a conversation focused, you know, whether it's online or live. And speaking of which, that's the other thing is whenever I can, I try to hop on a Zoom if somebody's far away or if they're nearby, let's go get a coffee. Let's go get a beer. Let's go get lunch. Let's do something in person, you know, because again, if it's not about nurturing a relationship, what is it about? Just debating? You're not impressing anybody. Nobody's winning. Nobody's doing any persuasion. Nobody's going to move any votes. It's just performative. It's not even performative. It's indulgence. That's what it is. These debates, these online debates, it's indulgence. That's what I was saying before about like rhetorical political master, but you're not doing anything. So that's what I do. If I do engage with somebody that's coming at it with this perspective, you know, that I criticize Donald Trump on one of my shows, or it comes up in a conversation or an interview or something I post, an article I post or a Bible verse, and they're acting, their response indicates that they take it personally as if I'm attacking them. I can't control that reaction. I can't control it. So I could ignore them, but if I do engage with them, I make sure it's not about debating. I try to set clear understandings. A lot of times I have to repeat and repeat and repeat. I do try to find something to compliment, something I respect and admire about them, to break the ice. And I avoid tackling everything at once. I try to pick one or two things at a time. And then whenever possible, hop on a Zoom, hop on a call and preferably go get a coffee or a beer or lunch or whatever with them. And it's that's what it is. That's how I go about it. You know, and again, I'm not the expert. This is just, I'm sharing my experience. So if I share something like this a year from now, hopefully we'll have learned a lot more stuff. I'm learning as I go. And that's why I'm sharing it with you. It's what I'm sharing with you. So lastly, I'll just say, if you are still listening, let me know what you think. What I'm most interested in is how to do all of this better. If you have different ideas about what you think this is all about, you know, when somebody, you know, if I'm criticizing Trump, I'm not attacking you, you know, help me understand it better. Help me understand how to engage with people when it's clear that's how they're responding, is if I'm attacking them. Help me understand it better. Because I refuse to give up on reaching out across our differences and having healthier, more meaningful conversations with folks that aren't like me or have different views from me. So I'll just wind it down there. As always, if you dig what we're doing here, remember to follow or write that review and tell a friend about TPNR. We are easy to recommend. Just tell your friends to go to their favorite podcast app and type in "without killing each other," you know, without the G and the killing. You can do the talk of politics too, but I think "without killing each other" is maybe the more memorable and maybe even more the more important part. "Without killing each other," without the G. And you'll find our big purple logo. You can find me online at Corey S. Nathan. That's Corey, S as in Sam, Nathan, at Corey S. Nathan. Now, go talk some politics and religion with gentleness and respect, and have a great week.